Dear Father God, dear Lord in heaven, thank you so much for tonight. A beautiful Thursday night, Father God. Lord, I just pray in the name of Jesus that every word that I teach, Father God, is not for me, it's from you, Lord. I pray, Father God, that those in the room here tonight will receive the word, Father God. And I'll pray that it will soak into their souls, Lord. And I pray that they carry this word around with them, Father God, to protect themselves from the world. In your name we pray, amen. Amen. So, you know, God's really been putting a lot of stuff on my heart lately about, most of it is stuff that I need to work on personally, and I'm totally aware of that, amen? And, you know, one of the major issues for me about being a Christian is just overcoming sinful habits, and I really need to overcome sinful habits. You know, the Christian life is an overcoming life, even though, you know, we have problems and we have struggles and, you know, we have issues. Jesus allows us to overcome our problems if we let him, you know, fix our problems. You know, he gives us victory over the world. You know, he gives us victory over so many things in our life, including sinful habits. And, you know, a lot of the things that I struggled with in my life, bitterness, hatred, loneliness, guilt, fear, discouragement, you know, all the things that I carried with me as a child, you know, Jesus has slowly released me from each one of those things, but I still carry a lot of them with me. You know, I still carry a lot of sinful habits with me. One of the most difficult things for me to give up, I think, was smoking cigarettes. Because a cigarette to me was like a friend, because I really never had any friends. I mean, you have friends, but a real friend is hard to come by. Somebody that you could trust, that's got your back, that, you know, you could call and say, hey, you know, I'm in prison in Mexico, come get me. And they would come and get you. Or, you know, somebody who keeps your secrets, you know, or good friends are hard to come by. But that cigarette was always there for me. I thought, you know, but he likes to kill you in the process is the problem. So, you know, drinking, the drugs, all that kind of stuff wasn't a problem. The cigarettes were really, really hard, you know, to quit. And, but with the strength of Jesus, I managed to quit cigarettes. So anything is possible. You know, you can do anything with anything with Jesus. As long as you have faith, as long as you push in, as long as you believe. And that's the key, is faith. So tonight's lesson is overcoming sinful habits, which is something that I'm going to teach myself. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, it says, being confident of this, that he who has begun a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. As a Christian, you are an entirely different person than before you accepted Jesus. Now that you are forgiven and your sins and are justified, you've been born again spiritually, and the Spirit of God lives inside of you. You still have sinful habits, though, that God wants to change. In order to become more mature and established Christian, God will help us to overcome our sinful habits. And I know that some of my sinful habits are being prideful, not being patient enough, you know, quick to anger. You know, when we're going through difficult times and the rain's beating down hard on us and it seems like we're struggling and we can barely make it, you know, through life, it seems like we get, you know, we lose our patience. You know, we lose our ability to be good Christians. I mean, it's easy to be a good Christian when God is blessing you. But when you are in a trial and when you are really hurting, you know, that's when your true colors show. And I want to experience the fullness of Jesus Christ. I want to be there in the New Jerusalem. So I want to get rid of all of my sinful habits. You know, obviously some habits are sinful and can't even be harmful to other people. If we keep hold of our sinful habits, we give the devil a way to destroy our lives. You know, for example, I mean, one of my habits is criticizing other people. You know, I get so angry at, you know, the way things are happening, for example, you know, and I want to delegate people to fix the problem, but I can't. And it's so frustrating to watch. So that turns into anger, and then that turns into criticizing others. You know, every one of us knows somebody that criticizes, you know, people, or they say sarcastic words, and then the devil can use that to destroy friendships, and the devil uses that to creep in. Satan is always looking around for a way to creep in and destroy your life. Always, continually. I mean, I cannot believe all the... I mean, he is the master advertiser. He is so good at what he does. And you really, really have to get rid of sinful habits, because it's those sinful habits that are gaping holes in Satan's ability to stick his finger in there and start really messing up with your life. Like, for example, I'm still, you know, I like to criticize people. I need to quit doing that. I need to repent of that, because I don't want Satan to use that to start an argument in the church and people, somebody leaves eventually, or, you know, being quick to anger. You know, Satan is waiting for the opportunity where I can fly off the handle so he can ruin my life. You know, so I know what my sinful habits are. And, you know, sinful habits are just like a bit in a horse's mouth. That's how Satan uses them. And you'll notice that all of the demons he pulls hang around in packs. I mean, it's like as soon as you got something going on over here, there'll be a whole group of people that'll come against you. You know, I mean, or as soon as you got something going on over there, there'll be a whole group of people that'll come against you. So it's very important that we get rid of our sinful habits. You know, the truth is, without God, we'll never be able to be free of sin. You know, it's just too difficult. You know, we were born with a sinful nature, and we will always be slaves until God comes and sets us free. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. You know, Corinth, I am not kidding you, I really started to study Corinth. That was the modern day Vegas. It had everything going for it. I mean, it was right on the main shipping ports, and it was, they were coming in there and they were having a good time. When those pirates got off, they were having a good time. And it was a very, very sinful place. I mean, you would literally walk through the streets and you'd want to get up early if you wanted to make a sacrifice to a false god. So you would see goats and rams just cut left at the foot of these false gods everywhere. I mean, it was just a very immoral, demoralizing place. And, you know, it was hard to preach the word of God there. I mean, I just can't believe Paul, all the things that he did, you know. That was an incredible city to preach the word of God. And it was so, must have been so difficult. It must have been like walking down the strip in Vegas and trying to reach out to people, you know, on a Saturday night at 2 a.m. when everybody's drunk, you know. So this is a step-by-step how to overcome our sinful habits. The first step to overcoming our sinful habits is to recognize those actions are sinful. You know, there's a lot of people that I know, some even in my church, that have justified and tolerated their sinful habits. And it's very, very difficult because you're leaving a gaping hole open for Satan. I know some brothers that are in so much bondage and no one knows but me. And I know other people that are in lots of hurt and pain and no one knows but me, you know, and it's, I feel so sorry for these people because the devil's goal is to pull them away from God, and he will make the sin seem so small. He'll make it seem insignificant. Like, what are you worried about? That's no big deal. Remember how the devil talked to Eve in the Garden of Eden and lied to make the fruit of the tree of good and evil seems so, you know, desirable, eventually even Adam decided to take a bite of it. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7 says, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. Therefore, do not love your sinful habits." Don't be wise in your own eyes like Adam and Eve and think your sinful habits are insignificant, because they are. I mean, I really had to recognize when you really get down to it. Like, I was at the grocery store. I used to leave the grocery cart like in the parking lot, you know, like right in my stall, because I saw others sitting there. I really had to repent of that. You know, I really, now I close the door, grab the shopping cart and push it all the way up to the front. Or if some trash falls on the ground out of my truck, you know, do I just leave it there? You know, I used to just leave it there all the time. Now I make an effort to pick it up, you know? Even when people, one of the biggest pet peeves for me is people that call me up under the auspices of something else, but they really need something from me or want something from me. But they start the slow talk, you know, and the big build up, you know, and then they eventually get to where they finally ask what they wanted for, you know. And it's this kind of situation that really, over the years, it's really, really, really made me angry, you know, because after 45 minutes of my time, here it comes, okay, what the call was for, you know. But I've really had to repent and learn to be calm and courteous and hear them and understand them and, you know, take the time to listen to them and pray for them, you know. And it's really hard. It's not easy, you know. If we don't learn to let go of sin, our hearts are going to become calloused and we'll go deeper and deeper into sin. And I've seen brothers backslide this way. You know, they start off with something and then that leads to something else and then something else. And before they know it, oh, well, I'm just back in the world again. You know? Ask God to forgive you and cleanse you by the blood of Jesus. Number two, receive God's word. You know, this is an amazing scripture. When we read the Bible and listen to preaching and teaching, God's word will change us. I am not kidding you. You can get up in the morning, go sit in the bed, start reading the Bible. That's great. But if you get up in the morning, go in your little prayer closet and start worshiping God. Like, I just sit there sometimes, you know, Jesus, the river of love. You know, I'll just praise Jesus, praise Jesus, praise Jesus. And I start to feel the Holy Spirit, you know. When you read the Bible under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the pages, they just come alive like a high-def movie in your brain. And you're all of a sudden transported to those gravel roads. It's like you can almost smell the dust. And the words, they're like honey. They're like sugar. They're like candy. I mean, you just long to hear the word because it tastes so good. And that's the riddle inside the enigma. You cannot receive the true blessing of the word unless you're under the anointing of the Holy Spirit and understand really the riddle inside the scriptures. Receive God's word. The word of God is compared to a hammer that breaks rocks in pieces, like a double-edged sword that pierces our soul, like water that cleanses us. It is God's tool for changing our hearts. When we read the Bible or listen to the word being preached, we should open our hearts to change. God will use his word to cleanse us and mold us into his image. His word is everything. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." God's word basically is spiritual food. We want to be strong spiritually so that we can win the spiritual battle against sinful habits. Therefore, we need to read the Bible, listen to Pastor Lau's sermons frequently, and just soak yourself in the Word. I mean, it is amazing when you just turn the Word on in your car, get some MP3s and listen to it while you're driving, listen to it while you're jogging, listen to it while you're working out. Every time you continually soak yourself in the Word, it's like taking a bath and little layers of dirt come off. And you become cleaner and cleaner and cleaner and cleaner until you begin to glow with the Spirit of God. And that's where I want to be. I want to glow with the Spirit of God. Amen? Amen? Depend on strength from God, not ourselves. You know, overcoming sinful habits is very, very difficult. You know, we need to pray and ask God for help. It's not easy. And each one of us has our problems, you know? Smoking was probably the biggest sinful habit I gave up 2 years ago, 3 days ago. So it's been 2 years and 3 days. And procrastinating, laziness, you know, wanting to do what I want to do, you know, just all kinds of stuff. I mean, the more you think about it, the more you realize how much help you need, you know. But even Paul depended entirely on God's strength to overcome problems and personal struggles. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 and 10, Paul wrote about a thorn in his flesh that made him depend on God. Even though all of his hardships, Paul was not defeated by difficulties, but prevailed over them because he had depended on God. Amen? So we can learn dependence on God by fasting and praying. When we fast and pray, we learn to say no to our flesh, our sinful desires, and we learn to say yes to the Holy Spirit. Of course, fasting and praying is difficult, but it trains us to not easily give in to temptation, which often comes through physical senses. We want to touch, we want to taste, we want to see something, you know? Fasting and praying trains our body to overcome the Spirit. Amen? And to obey the Spirit. When we pray to overcome sinful habits, we should not give up, but rather keep asking God for help. The person who wrote Psalm 121 understood what it was like to completely depend on God for help. Psalm 121, verses 1 through 2 says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. Amen?
Amen.
Live Spirit-filled lives. You know, if you are in like a rut and you don't know how to pull out and you want to be joyful, you know, start maybe add another care group to your schedule. Start listening to the Word in the, you know, in the car. The Holy Spirit is like a fire that cleanses us. It starts burning inside of us. And I mean, it burns out all of the sinful habits, all of the unholy things. In Matthew 3, John the Baptist says that Jesus will baptize with the Holy Spirit. When we are baptized with the Spirit is like a fire that burns up sinful things in our lives. I remember the very first time I felt the Holy Spirit. I was a new believer, and I didn't really, I mean, I was carrying around all my sins still. I think it was like 7 years ago, 8 years ago. And my father-in-law took me to Dallas to the Mega Men's Convention, T.D. Jakes. And I spent the night at the hotel bar drinking into oblivion. And then the next morning, I thought service would be like at 10 a.m. But it wasn't. It was at like 8. We had to be there at 7. You know what I mean? And my head was pounding. I had the biggest headache. I was using one eye to drive, and we were getting there into the church parking lot. And this is a horrible story, but I want people to know that, you know, this is where it starts. You know, this is where, you know, you can start your walk with Christ at any level. And I get down to the front, and I'm sitting there. We're trying to get good seats because, you know, we know it's on TV and stuff, you know. And I get down to the front, and this woman, they're all dressed in white in the front row, like the elders of the church. And she turned around, she goes, "Let me pray for you." And she grabbed me by the hand, and I felt the heat move up my arm, through my body. My eyelashes were burning. The tips of my ears were burning. My hair was just like on a current of electricity. It was absolutely amazing. And my headache was gone. I was completely cured. And I knew that God was real. Amen. Matthew chapter 3, verses 11 through 12. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear the threshing floor, gathering wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. We should be filled increasingly with the Spirit so that God can change us quickly. Our sinful desires conflict with the Holy Spirit. Either you crave the things of sin or you crave the Holy Spirit. Many of us are caught in that trap of like, you know, we go after our sinful things that we need, and then we spend time repenting to the Holy Spirit. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Just like James. Don't be like the sea, rolling back and forth, back and forth. We should be filled increasingly with the Spirit so that God can change us quickly. When one hunger becomes stronger, eventually the other will grow weaker. And that's why we continually need to just soak ourselves with the Word of God. Amen? Paul wrote to the Ephesians not to crave alcohol, but to hunger for the Spirit and be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." Amen? Amen. Christians who hunger for the Spirit and are continually filled with the Spirit naturally produce the fruit of the Spirit, which is defined in Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23 as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Amen? In order to be filled with those, we should stay in fellowship with one another. You have got to become a member of a care group. You have got to start listening to the Word in your car. You have got to come with a better attitude when you come to church. I notice an entirely different breakthrough when I get into a prayer group before church starts. And I really ask God to forgive me for my sins. I repent of anything that I did that week, and I try to open my heart for change. I receive the Word better. I worship better. And when I leave, I feel more joyful and more fulfilled, more clean. It's really out there. It's really available. So, 5, replace the old with the new. This is my favorite one. You know, stop your sinful habits. You know, we must replace them with godly habits, such as reading the Bible, learning worship songs on the guitar, fellowshipping with other Christians, maybe getting into a care group. Also, one of the greatest things for me that I did, I look back in it now, is I got rid of my friends that weren't such good friends. I found out that I had a bunch of fair-weathered friends that were hanging around with me for the good time. You know, but when I quit paying and when I quit taking care of them, and I found out that I really didn't have any friends at all. And in 2000, I remember I ushered in the Spirit. I ushered in the new year, you know, the big 2000, Y2K, all that junk, you know. I ushered that in alone, you know, a little house in Kirkland. And for Christmas, I had like a little, I went to Pike Street and I bought a little pine tree, you know, like a little, like 3 foot one. And it was the first time in my life. It was like so depressing. I was so embarrassed. I didn't want to tell anybody. I mean, people would ask me, "What are you doing for Christmas?" You know, and I'd be like, you know, back to the folks, you know. But I was just, I went to Nordstrom's and I dropped some change on, you know, a pair of shoes and stuff, and just sat there and watched, I think, Star Wars trilogy. I mean, it was just really bad, okay? I was the only one there. I mean, I had no friends. I just moved here, you know. So, you know, you can absolutely start from like being really, really lonely, you know, and have a family with children and a church family that loves you and all these wonderful people in your life and God blessing you and your business. And it's possible when you walk with Jesus Christ. Amen. Hebrews 10:24-25. And let us not consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. But let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. What should we do with our non-Christian friends? You know, I've debated this for so long. You can't go out with them anymore, because if you do, it makes you kind of a hypocrite, because, you know, you're out there hanging around with them, watching them sin. You can't. All you can do is sit there and be a good brother. I remember when I was drinking, Pat Macaluso used to come over to the bar with me, and he'd sit there while I drank, and he'd tell me about Jesus. All till 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. And he'd drink those non-alcoholic whatever O'Brien's, and he kept teaching me about Jesus. That's a good brother. That is a really good brother, you know? And that's what you should do. But you can't be that anymore. You can't live in sin anymore. You have to be the light. You have to be the example. And that's what God taught me. And the final one is, number six is, don't give up. Don't give up. I know it's really hard to give up. I'm so sad because I have, you know, I work really, really hard to bring somebody to Bible study. And then I work really, really hard to bring them to church. And I watch them get on fire. I watch them come to Christ. And then I watch them give up. And it's so hard, you know? It just rips my heart out when someone leaves a church, you know? Especially someone that I brought, you know? God will always be on our side as we struggle against sinful habits. Therefore, we should never give up because we stumble or feel discouraged. Don't give up because God does not give up on you. Practically, it is good to set specific goals, such as focusing our efforts day to day or week by week. And we should also remember to replace old sinful habits with godly ones. I try to get up in the morning. I try to spend 30 minutes in the Word. I'm trying to be a good example at work. I'm trying to serve God to the best of my abilities. I'm working on all of the things that I know that are sinful in my life. And that's all we can do, is just ask God for help. Keep having faith in Him. Keep your eyes on Jesus, and everything else will take care of itself. Amen? Amen. Do you guys understand? Is that good? Amen. Did you guys get something out of that? Amen. Can you end us in prayer, Lee?
Sure.
Thank you so much.
Heavenly Father, we just we thank you for this time. We thank you for any time when we can gather together and study your word and be taught through your word and through testimony and through experience, Father. And so we really, really thank you for Brother Phil's testimony and teaching today, Lord. And we thank you for your spirit accompanying him tonight, Lord. We just really, really thank you, Lord. We pray that you would bless all that he's committed to doing on your behalf,
Amen.
Lord, and his ministry, Lord.
Yes.
And I pray, Lord, that Lord, that we can just all just walk beside him,
Amen.
Lord, and that this ministry would grow, Lord.
Amen.
Bless this time and bless
yes.
him going forward. Bless his family, Jamel,
yes.
and the kids.
Amen.
And
Amen.
Lord, we thank you for that. And Jesus, we pray all these things. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, you guys. I really, really